Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 231. And our guest today with a dream for us to explore is Rita from Cape Town in South Africa. Now, as you all know, if you listen to the show regularly, the idea behind the show is that I know nothing about the dream until we start recording. So, you know, as you hear Rita tell her dream, you're listening to it at the same time as I am, and you're then engaging in the process of how to explore the dream and how to work through it. Now, we've already recorded the section with Rita, so I know what a dream is about, and I know where it took us, and I know you're going to thoroughly enjoy it, and we're going to come to Rita in just a little minute. But first of all, before we go there, my website's janeteresa.com, that's Teresa without an H, and my online learning platform, the Dream Academy, and the direct address for that is dream-academy-online.com. But I'm also really excited about the next bit of news. Now, as you'll hear when you listen to me talking with Rita, she brings a dream that she had on the 14th of April, and you'll hear me say to her that that's, a, you know, 10 days ago, because we often record batches of the dream show and then they come out later. So this episode that you're listening to, if you're listening to it on the first day it comes out, you'll be listening to it on the 18th of June 2020, and we're recording it 8 weeks before that. So as I sit here at the moment, I'm fully expecting my new book to be published in early June. So while I give you a little bit of information about it, I've got all my fingers and toes crossed that it is actually going to be out there by the time you listen to this. So my new book, which I'm really excited to announce, is my seventh book. It's called Bird of Paradise, and the subtitle is Taming the Unconscious to Bring Your Dreams to Fruition. And all I'm going to say about it at the moment is it's a completely different style of writing to all my other books up until now. And it is about dreams and is about synchronicity and it's about all sorts of things. But I hope that you'll be sufficiently intrigued to find out more about it and buy it. By the time you listen to this, you'll be able to get it from all the usual places, I hope, all the online bookstores that you can think of, from your actual bookstore. If we've got past the pandemic by then and bookstores are taking orders, who knows what would be by then. And in the very least, you'll be able to come to my website at janeteresa.com and click books on the menu and find out about it. But that's my exciting news. Perhaps even more exciting now is Rita's dream. So here we go. Welcome to the Dream Show, Rita.
Thank you, Jane, for the opportunity to be on your show. I'll really appreciate that.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you. And you're from Cape Town, South Africa.
Yes, that's correct.
Where it's currently...
Beautiful Cape Town.
And it's currently very early morning for you.
Yes, it's 8 o'clock, so we're all up and running, ready to go do the day.
Right, okay, so part of your up and running this morning is to tell me your dream, which I have no idea what it is, so my pen is poised, I'm ready, you go.
Thank you, Jane. I had this dream on the 14th of April. I was visiting a friend and her husband, and we were ready to go to a place where he had some installation, maintenance work that needs to be done. I was already ready and I was curling up in a chair waiting for them to finish off. And while I was waiting there, my friend came and she cuddled up next to me. This made me feel uncomfortable. I was saved from this by the fact that we had to leave and we got into the car. As we got onto the off-ramp, we passed the van with all the equipment. This off-ramp was a very steep downhill onto the highway. As we got to the bottom of the hill, the left-hand lane was blocked with a stationary van with twin girls crawling outside in the left-hand lane. To avoid an accident, my friend's husband decided to pass this van on the left-hand side in the yellow lane. As we started moving over to the yellow lane, one of the twins dropped her dummy and that rolled into the middle lane. She immediately started crawling into this lane to fetch her dummy or into the oncoming traffic. The same van that we passed on the top of the off-ramp drove over her. I was hysteric, but my friend's husband did not stop. We arrived at the venue, and as we stopped, I saw the van with the twins, and it was a huge relief to see that they were okay. The one little girl had some bruises, but she was fine, already forgetting about the ordeal on the highway. And that is how it ended.
Wow. Okay. For people listening in, we're actually recording this one a couple of months before it goes live. So this dream for you, Rita, on the 14th of April is about 10 days ago, isn't it? A week or 10 days ago.
Yeah.
Yes. So yes. As we go through this, it's not too far in the in the past for you to think back to what was happening in the 1 to 2 days beforehand as well. I've got a couple of little questions to ask first. You're talking about the yellow lane. Is that a thing in South Africa? Is there a yellow lane that's kind of like a safety lane, or is this a dream thing?
Yes.
Right.
No, we do have a yellow lane that is a safety lane in South Africa, yes.
Right, okay, that's great. All these little technical things that we have to get right for everybody listening all over the world. So when you woke up from this dream, how did you feel?
I was okay. There was quite a huge relief at the end of the day that these two girls were okay. Mm. And that's how I feel. I felt okay.
That's great.
I was okay.
Because there was such a, you know, there was so much emotion in the stream. And I wondered how much of the earlier emotion hung over. So that's really good. You know, as we go through it, there is at least we know that at the end of the dream, there's some sense of resolution and relief from that everything works out okay. We've just got to work out what it is that works out okay.
Yeah.
So if we start at the beginning, or almost at the beginning, and we just begin by working out what your friend and her friend's husband may or may not represent. So is this a friend that you know really well?
Yes, it is.
So what three words would you use to describe her personality or approach to life?
I think she is very generous in some ways, but also very cold and very reserved.
And her husband, the same?
Her husband is a very bombastic, rude, what else? Yeah, person. That's
yes.
What I can say.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so we've got the beginning of the dream. Has he actually got anything to do with installation maintenance work? Or is that a dream thing?
Yeah. No, he does. He's a handyman. A handyman.
Right, okay. So he's doing something practical there. And is it a dream thing, or do you often go on little installation journeys with them?
No, that was a pure once-off dream thing.
Okay, that's lovely. So the beginning of a dream often sets the situation or the theme that the rest of the dream goes on to explore. So we've got this thing right at the beginning that you're with your friend and your husband ready to go and do some kind of maintenance work, or as you described it, there's some kind of handyman kind of work. And so you're with two people. One who you see as generous in some ways, but cold and reserved, and one who you see as bombastic and rude. So it's quite an interesting sort of set of characteristics that you're kicking off this dream with. But you start curling in a chair. Is curling how you often sit in a chair?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Curl up.
Is it like curling up in a, is it like a fetal position or a comfortable, what is it that you like about curling up?
It's Probably in a fetal position. You're right. I would describe it that way.
So it's you feel comfortable in that position, like extremely comfortable, or comforting yourself, or how would you describe what that position does for you?
I think it comforts me. It comforts me.
Yeah. So it's interesting straight up that you've got that situation where you're curling in the chair because it comforts you, and yet the next thing that happens after your friend cuddles up to you is you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So we've straight away got, you know, there's comfortable versus uncomfortable. Oh, and the dummy too. Now, for all our international listeners, I'm with you, Rita. I know what a dummy is. It's that rubber thing that you put in little babies' mouths to stop them from crying. Other names for them are soothers and comforters. I think they're called comforters as well. Yeah. So, but the point of a dummy is, you tell me, I've just sort of given my opinion about what the point of a dummy is, but you tell me what the point of a dummy is.
Yeah, it's to keep a baby happy. It's to soothe a baby in a instance of, or a situation of, where she's uncomfortable.
So straight up, we've got this, you know, one of the themes going through your dreams, through this dream, is dealing with how to get comfortable when you're uncomfortable. And of course, we've got lots of issues with that, with the poor little girl crawling along the middle of the road. But it's the beginning of the dream is suggesting that I, Rita, at the time of the dream, have something, consciously or unconsciously, where I'm trying to work out where I sit on an issue of comfort. You know, if you've got completely comfortable at one end of the extreme and at the other extreme completely uncomfortable, where do I find the happy medium? What's all this? So the first thing that makes you feel uncomfortable is your friend cuddling up to you.
Yes.
Right. And you described her as generous in some ways, but also cold and reserved. So there's a sense here of I'm quite comfortable, I'm quite happy, but if I get too close to people who are cold or reserved, I begin to feel a bit uncomfortable. Given that in dreams, the courageous step is also to look at everyone in a dream as representing something about ourselves, where do you feel you are in terms of you know, feeling very warm to people or feeling cold to people, or how reserved do you tend to be, or how totally unreserved do you tend to be?
Jane, I've been doing quite a lot of shadow work, if I can call it, the last 2-3 years. And I have been a very cold person. But as I discovered all these other facades and my blind spots and things like that, I'm busy changing. I'm really, I don't want to say I'm totally the full opposite of what I was, but I am on a journey of discovering who I really am, if I can put it that way.
Yes.
And it's quite an intense journey that I'm on at the moment.
Yes. That's absolutely fabulous. Gosh, you know, if everybody did that shadow work and that dream work, the world would be a much better place. So well done on you for being that. So you've been back, and I'm sure as we work with the dream, we'll discover more and more about this and go deeper. But as you say, it looks like you're investigating in this dream the aspect of when you have been in the past a cold person, and how you're dealing with that, and how comfortable or uncomfortable you're feeling about, you know, where you sit on how cold or how warm I am. And of course, as with any transformation that anyone goes through, you know, as we, whether we're working towards the middle line, as you know, or whether we're working towards the other extreme, it is a long and slow journey, because every step along the way, it's, how comfortable am I with this? This is so different to how I've been all my life. Oh, I step a bit closer. How comfortable am I with this? So that sense of comfort is a really good dream measure of that there.
Okay.
It's interesting that your friend wasn't driving the car, it was her husband, you know, it's yes. a kind of driving force here. So it's almost like you're being, that through this dream you're being driven by some kind of bombastic and rude force, and it's how do you respond when you're driven by this. Does that relate to childhood at all? Were you heavily influenced by bombastic and rude people?
Yeah, I think, you know what, all respect to my dad, but in certain instances he was very rude and very bombastic.
Yeah. So do you think that was one of the reasons why, I imagine it would be, Rita, why you were more cold and reserved as a younger person? Was it to keep distance from dad's rudeness, to kind of keep a defense or a castle around you to be safe inside?
Probably is, because and I'm sure you know that we all build our safety nets for ourselves, you know, when we are small. So surely I can just imagine that it is that.
Absolutely. So your dream is really in bringing along your friend's husband as the bombastic and rude driver of the car is really at this point, I guess, as you say, you know, you're doing the shadow work. So while you had a bombastic father and a rude father, and there's no way that you would have been bombastic and rude, you would have tucked bombastic and rude deep down inside you as a shadow, like, I will never be like that. I will never be bombastic and rude. Even the slightest thing that you might have said in life that you felt was rude, you might have gone, oh my God, that's like my father. I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to tuck that even deeper and deeper inside. And of course, that, as you know, is the shadow.
Yes.
But all the time that shadow is down there, and the shadow, you know, as in your case and everyone's, the shadow was making you cold and reserved because you were keeping that bombastic side deep inside. I'm never going to be rude and outspoken like that. I'm going to have the dummy in my mouth. I'm not going to spurt out anything rude. I'm going to be more reserved, you know. And so, but because our unconscious mind is so powerful, the stuff that we push in there, as you know, can actually still be a driving force in our life. You know, the more, to take a completely different example for people listening in, if you hold back your anger because you don't like to express it, the decisions that you make in life and the way that you respond in life are still driven by that anger. You may not be angry, but that pent-up anger that you are not going to express is actually affecting how you respond in life. So whatever's in our shadow does... Mm. Nevertheless, even though we can't see it ourselves, does nevertheless affect how we are in life. So in that sense, we can be driven by our shadow until you do the marvelous work that you are doing of identifying that shadow and then bringing that shadow into the light of conscious understanding and releasing it so that shadow is no longer there and therefore no longer driving you. So the sense at the beginning of this dream is that you're perhaps either just becoming aware that you've been driven by this bombastic, rude shadow, or that the dream is drawing it to your attention.
You know what? Yes, I have been aware of, because what I found was that this anger inside me, you know, explode when I didn't expect it to explode. And that's when I realized, because that made me a very ugly person. And that's when I started working with this. It's still very interesting that it still comes up.
Yeah.
And I'm actually so grateful for this, that, you know what, it's some more work that needs to be done. And some more pointers that I need to work with to get to the middle lane or the
wonderful, courageous work, and so worthwhile, so absolutely worthwhile. Gosh, the effect that our parents can have on us, hey?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So we've got the beginning of the dream then, you know, summarizing all of that, that you're realizing, particularly in the 1 to 2 days before the dream, that you are driven by this deep unconscious shadow that's bombastic and rude, and that you really do not want to show anyone, and therefore you try to hold that back. But in doing that, you may also sometimes appear to be colder and more reserved than you mean to be. And then there's that feeling of, as I warm up and I'm more unreserved and I'm warmer, oh my goodness, I hope that bombastic rude bit isn't going to slip in there, or I hope the anger isn't going to slip out because I will be off my guard. Yes. Yeah, so then you go, and I guess that's why, Rita, at the beginning there's the idea of the maintenance work. So although your friend's husband is in maintenance work, it's like this is you doing your maintenance work, sorting out your shadow stuff. Oh, and even down to the installations, you know, what is installed in our childhood, the beliefs and the programming that's installed. So you're out on your installation work. So good on you there. So
okay. Awesome.
Yeah. So you go down to the main highway, which is a great place to be. It's almost like I'm getting this stuff sorted. Now I'm going to go on the highway of my life. The off ramp is very, very steep. And you pass a van with equipment. Is that the equipment for the installation or for something else? Right, it is.
No, it was the van for the installation, yes.
Did you get any feeling for what the installation was?
It was something in the line of a billboard.
Of a what?
A billboard, an advertising billboard.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. So, oh, goodness, yes. Yeah. So when you advertise something and you've got a billboard, it's screaming a great, big, huge, loud message. There's definitely no dummy in your mouth when you've got a big billboard speaking out for you. Is there? So I'm kind of getting a sense for where this is going, and you are too. Right at the top of this dream, it's like, in a day or two before this, I'm getting ready to make a very big announcement, professionally, personally, whatever. I'm going to really speak out, and I'm really scared about what's going to come out here. But okay. I love that you're ready for it. You're going for it anyway. You've got the van with all the equipment. You're going to do the maintenance work. You're going to do the installation. This is all absolutely fantastic. So we get on the highway. We're on the way to do this. And the first thing you notice is that the left-hand lane is blocked by a stationary van. So is this the van with the equipment or another van?
No, that was another van which had the twins.
Right. Do you know where that van was going, or what its journey would have been if it wasn't stationary?
No, I don't know.
Right, okay. So and roughly how old were the twin girls, Rita?
Jane, I would say, you know, at a crawling age, probably 9 months.
Yeah.
Round about that.
9 months. Okay, that's lovely. So, again, if we take the approach which is the most courageous and ultimately most healing approach of looking at everyone and everything in a dream as representing something about the dreamer, we've got the van here that is stationary. So it's like part of me, part of Rita is on that highway, on the way to this billboard, on the way to shouting it out. And part of me is going, nope. No, I'm stopped. I'm stopped. Okay. I'm not going anywhere. I'm stopped here.
Okay.
And there's twin girls in there who are about 9 months old. Do twins mean anything to you particularly in your life? Have you got a family that tends to have twins or?
No.
Right, so it's totally a dream symbol. And you're not like a Gemini astrology sign that twins doesn't mean anything to you from that point of view?
No.
Okay. So with them being like,
I'm a Libra.
Pardon?
I'm a Libra, so
a Libra.
I'm a Libra.
Okay.
Yeah.
So them being about 9 months old, that may be because they're crawling. So 9 months may be a kind of logical conclusion because they're crawling. Because the dream may more be about a sense of, I don't feel I'm running and getting anywhere. I feel like I'm crawling along. But it may also refer to 9 months. So, you know, it might be constructive to look back 9 months ago and say, what has been in my life for 9 months? Or what twin things have been in my life for 9 months? What are the kind of two aspects of something that's been in my life? And the girls, so the girls' side tends to be our yin, our right brain, our creativity, our spirituality, our emotions, our intuition. So 9 months ago? Did anything new start in that area, or are we really talking about the crawling aspect?
I can't really recall anything new. It's just that I am busy with this, you know, journey of mine. I'm actually enrolled in a life coaching course, which is quite an intensive course. So, and that is my journey right now. So, you know, every day some new stuff unfolds and I learn new things every day. So I can't really pinpoint to anything particular from the past 9 months.
How long have you been doing the course?
I'm now, it's my third year.
Oh, quite a long time, Okay, so I'd say that the fact that they were crawling is probably the more significant thing here. It's like there's twin aspects, which we will work out what they are. I have two things that seem to be the same. Part of myself that is not really running down that highway to that billboard exclamation point. It feels more like it's crawling along a bit here and in danger. And so the first idea is to pass it in the yellow lane to stay safe. But staying safe, well, we know at the end of the dream everybody's safe, but at that point in the dream, it doesn't seem to one of the twins at least is in danger. So staying safe doesn't actually result in safety. In fact, whether or not passing on the left caused the dummy to be dropped and rolled out, we don't know. But there's the idea that you're passing on the left side for some kind of safety, but what else is happening is actually really risky and dangerous.
Yeah.
For our international listeners, in South Africa, do you drive on the left-hand side or the right-hand side of the road?
We drive on the left-hand side.
Left. So that the driving to the left is driving on the slower side of the...
Yes, correct.
Okay. So one of the girls are... no one's looking after these girls. They're crawling about on the road. And
yes, there was no adult visible at that moment. It was just the two girls crawling in the road.
So, you know, at one level, it may even be taking you back to when you were crawling about 9 months old. Maybe some aspect there about, you know, this installation goes way back to when you were 9 months old and you maybe didn't feel that protected by adults and you felt, you know, in danger, particularly around spitting the dummy and expressing yourself. So it may have to do with that, but definitely there's a feeling in the dream here of part of me is just crawling along and feels in danger, whereas I should actually be driving freely down this road. So how is it that so one twin keeps the dummy and the other loses it?
Yes. Yes.
And how does she lose the dummy? Do you know?
It just dropped out of her mouth.
Right, okay. And did she say anything like shout or cry or?
No, she just immediately started crawling to go and fetch her dummy, which then rolled into the, you know, next lane with all the oncoming traffic.
The oncoming traffic. So it could be, you know, the twins could be twin aspects of this issue. So, you know, there's part of me that will hold on to the dummy and not speak out and stay quiet. And there's part of me that is going to perhaps, whether or not I'm ready to, is going to find myself without the dummy and feel that I'm really in an exposed, risky situation with all this oncoming traffic coming towards me. So it's that sense of if I don't feel comfortable, if I don't have my comforter, if I don't stop up my mouth to stop myself expressing what I want to say or advertising to the world on a billboard, if I don't do any of that, this part of the dream says I'm going to be in intense danger and I'm going to have everything coming towards me and this is going to be really awful. And meanwhile, the other aspect of you is just sucking on its dummy.
Yes.
Because, you know, as you will know, reader, from the work that you've done with your shadow work, as you progress on this journey, that there often comes a point where there are twin aspects. There's a part of yourself that wants to stay in the old way and the part of yourself that wants to move into the new way. And this could be the child, yes, with the dummy and the child without the dummy. So it does seem to me to be a dream that's really catching this point of transition. Yeah. And it's this point of transition where it's like, I've really faced my fears about what risks are going to be confronting me here.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
And she was in the middle lane. She wasn't like in the far right lane. She was in the middle lane.
She was in the middle lane. Yeah.
What does the middle lane mean to you?
I think the middle lane is the steady lane. It's not the slow lane and it's not the fast lane. It is just the steady lane.
Mm. So she really did a very sensible thing. Like it's not like going from one extreme to the other. It's like you're actually going into the steady lane. And I guess in many ways, a bit like the Chinese middle path, you know, the Tao. Neither to this, neither to that. The Goldilocks thing in the middle, just nice and steady, is where you should be. Yeah. But even in the dream, it's like, it's steady. It's actually really, really dangerous. Like, oh, my goodness, what I'm doing. Then the van drove over her and you were totally hysteric. So to me, this is that hysteria that you felt in the dream. Often the emotions we feel in a dream are emotions that we have held back for a long, 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 long time being released. So, you know, it may be, Rita, that hysteria or that hysterics or panic might be all the emotions you've had throughout your life until recently of, but how would life be if I took the dummy out of my mouth and I spoke out, or I, you know, will the bombastic, rude person come out, or what will happen when I, you know, and all of that. This hysteria is like a release in the dream is what I feel. Even though it didn't feel good in the dream, it was kind of like a release.
Okay.
And I think that's why you didn't stop. It was like, even though it was scary not to stop, it was like, we're just going to go on with this anyway. I'm releasing the hysteria. We're just going to go. Something really awful has happened, I think, but let's just keep on going and see what happens. And then you arrive at the venue, and she's there and she's okay. She's got some bruises, but she's going to be fine. And she's already forgetting the ordeal on the highway. I love that. Have you felt, I know I feel this, if I go for a tough and challenging time, or even if it's something for me like, say, writing a book, which is takes a huge amount of effort, the moment it's finished, I immediately, in your words, forget the huge ordeal. I think, oh, no, that was nothing really. Let's just move on to the next project. And I think with challenging circumstances in life too, once we're through them, they seem to be much lighter than they were. Do you ever find that?
Yes. You know, I think I always see it, you know, when you approaching it, it looks like a very huge hurdle that you have to overcome. But when you're over it, it was actually not that high.
Yes.
I can actually very much resonate with this.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of like that hurdle that you mentioned is similar to, I guess, the off ramp and the steep downhill to the highway as well, and the hurdle of being in the middle path. So yeah, there's a sense in the dream that you've already made some transition that has resulted in you releasing a lot of the hysteria and the panic and actually realizing that bar a few bruises, you're actually already forgetting the ordeal and how hard it was. You are already there. Just got the bruises to acknowledge.
Yeah, it's you know, everything is the experience. So I presume the bruises was just the experience of what happened, you know, and that is that. Nothing more to it. It was just the experience. And
yes,
I haven't died.
Yes, no. Where were the bruises on her body? Did you know?
The bruises, what I could saw was, you know, what in her face.
Mm.
Just, you know, that was what I could saw.
So it may be that the bruising that you have felt and that you acknowledge as you move forward is symbolically around your face, which makes sense of the dummy and expression and speaking out and what you see and what you hear and how do I face the oncoming traffic of life? how do I face going forward? I mean, you've obviously picked an amazing area to train in life coaching because you're a better life coach if you've been through these kind of experiences yourself.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that is some of the, you know, that is the requirements of the course that I do, that we have to experience all these things ourselves. And because you can't deal with a client if you haven't experienced all these emotions yourself.
What happened in the 1 to 2 days before your dream, do you think that might have, apart from the general ongoing shadow work, that might have released this stuff in the dream?
Jane, I think I had that... I think that Wednesday, I had my one-on-one session with my coach, that my mentor, the guy that I'm training with, and here's the thing: every time that I walk into his office, I feel extremely uncomfortable, in the sense that maybe I don't have all the experiences and all the knowledge that he has got. And that specific day, I asked him a question on how do I know that my energy systems are well and alive. And I understand that the way that he answered me was to teach me what the, you know, but I just felt so in some way, I don't want to say I felt humiliated, because that's how I felt, that I don't understand the work that I'm doing.
Yes.
And that made me feel a little bit humiliated by the question that I asked. So, yeah, that's...
That makes sense. He made you feel like a crawling baby in many ways.
Probably. Probably.
When you review it and you think about it, it was he's failing in using the right words to answer your question, and also his failure to respect your question.
I don't know. Maybe respect my question in the sense of, you know what, make me feel stupid by the question that I'm asking. I'm asking you, or the guru, if I can put it that way. I'm training with you. And at the end of the day, yes, when we got to the answer, it was actually a very simple answer, but it was just the whole process of explaining to me, and at a point in time, it made me very, very uncomfortable.
That makes sense. Did he remind you in any way of your friend or her husband or your dad?
No. No, not at all.
So that sort of makes sense of why you had the dream, because it was looking at your comfort and discomfort and why you felt humiliated and coming through that, but at the end of the dream feeling bruised, but nevertheless back on the road and arrived at the venue, you know, got the answer that you wanted eventually from him, and came out wiser for it. If we look at the billboard in the dream, you know, being really, you were at the end of the day, the dream, the goal of the dream was to get that billboard installed.
Correct.
Yeah. What do you picture being on that billboard? If that billboard is your goal to put a message out to the world or to explain yourself or to advertise yourself or anything at all, but basically to give a screaming, great, big, wonderful message to cars going by on the highway, what would it say?
I would say that you can change yourself the way that you want to change yourself. You can go on a journey of self-discovering, and by doing that, actually discovering who you truly are.
Yes.
Because, and that's my part of it, that, you know, what we put so many faces onto our face to just have a, you know, a perceived idea of what other people would like us to be, and just uncovering all those layers of facades that we have, and that I believe that if we can all get there, we will all live in a much better world at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. So how far away do you feel you are from being comfortable with that message being out there on your symbolic billboard?
Weird enough, I had a conversation yesterday with somebody to help me marketing myself, and I am in the process to do the billboard.
That's great. I love it.
That is just so funny. That is just so funny. But that's what's happened. I'm in the process of, you know, doing that.
Isn't it wonderful how our unconscious mind can be so far ahead of us sometimes? It's like, you know, it's dreaming it, it's working it out, it's stirring away, you know, because of the experiences that you had prior to that, and because of the, particularly because of feeling uncomfortable with your mentor and so on, the guru and so on and so forth. All of that bubbling away actually prepares you to be ready for the billboard stage. And then one morning you wake up and you go, right, actually, I feel a bit more comfortable about this marketing now.
Yeah, it is, Jane. It is actually the unconscious and the knowledge that the unconscious have got.
Yeah.
It is awesome. It is amazing, and that's the stuff that we actually not aware of. And well, it just proved to me here again, you know, how powerful the unconscious actually is, and the message out there coming from the unconscious and not from our conscious mind, because in my conscious mind, I was still, should I or shouldn't I? Should I or shouldn't I?
The twins, should I and shouldn't I? Yeah.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yes, you're right. So that, so your dream, not only as you know, really saying there that your unconscious mind is really saying, yes, it's going to be okay, you're ready for this. The dream is also, I guess, reflecting that idea that you have to be prepared to spit the dummy and crawl into the middle lane and face the oncoming traffic and all those things which can be really, really scary, to find out that actually it's not. Actually, everything turns out okay.
Yes, yes. And I think it is something of being attached to the end goal, and instead of just taking it day by day, right now, what do I need to do? Because I will get where I want to if I do every day what I need to do.
Yes. So rather than there be an aspect of yourself that's a stationary van on the off ramp or the stationary ramp, or you just, even the crawling step by step each day, taking each day as it comes, you're quite right there, but not holding back, not keeping the dummy in the mouth, actually getting out there and doing it.
Yes.
Like a baby, you know, I mean, people say you have to crawl before you can walk, but we all know that some babies, and particularly in some cultures, never crawl. They go straight from sitting to hauling themselves up to walking. And, you know, and babies in cultures where crawling is more common often don't crawl either. So, you know, there is this idea of you have to crawl before you can walk. But the sense is still that we all have some memory, even though we have completely forgotten it, of doing that extremely difficult task of learning to walk. How did we all do that? It's a miracle. Yeah. How did we do that? Yeah. I mean, you get that courage to just get on your two feet and eventually one day let go and walk. So if we've got that courage deep inside us, you know, how we can sort of tune into that courage for the other things in life that, as you correctly say, if you just take them one step at a time or one crawl at a time, you actually do get there.
Correct. What more can I say? It is absolutely that.
Do you? What stands out from us exploring the dream today that you maybe didn't know before?
I think the billboard. Sign that was there, I think that is the one of the things that are really standing out.
Yes.
And I think just the twins, the clarity about the twins dreams are all about myself. So the role of the twins in my own life. And I think that and the vision of the billboard is really what
standing out.
Is
the twin aspects, the shall I, shan't I, and the end goal of the billboard.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes. So the funny thing is that, you know, if we were setting dream alchemy for this, and for people listening in that haven't encountered dream alchemy before, I'll just go over what it is. Dream alchemy is when you look at a dream and that dream helps you to understand where your mindset is at the moment. And if you decide as a result of that, you know, my dream is showing me some blocks or some limiting beliefs or some feelings that I haven't resolved or whatever, then you can use dream alchemy to reprogram those limiting beliefs or remove the block or resolve the feelings. And you do that by doing visualizations or writing or artwork or all kinds of exercises that I call dream alchemy, where you basically take the symbols of the dream and you transform them. Now, with a dream like yours, Rita, where we've really already got a positive ending, we can also do a dream alchemy which kind of amplifies that. So it's working with the symbols of your dream to amplify the outcome. So the outcome, as I see it, and, you know, I'd be interested to see what you think, but my feeling for the outcome is that we really want to get that billboard happening symbolically and actually.
correct. I think that is now my next step, and that's to get that billboard out there with my name on it.
Yes.
And there will be obstacles along the road, but that is fine. I will get where I need to go, and that is to get my name out there, I think what I'm going to do is on the visualization side, just draw a little billboard for myself here.
Yes.
With my name on it, and you know, just to be reminding myself of this actually awesome dream that I had.
Yes.
And work with that.
Absolutely. And when you do that, Rita, you're spot on there. When you create that billboard drawing, as with all Dream Alchemy, the idea is also, as you know, is to bring up a positive emotion that goes with it. So that in your dream was about feeling uncomfortable or about feeling panicked. When you draw the billboard and you totally immerse yourself in that feeling of this is my billboard, this is my name. While you're doing that, summon up a feeling of supreme comfort about this too, like not an uncomfortable bone in my body.
Okay.
You might like to combine with that feeling of all the masks, as you say, being off as well. But so if you were to go out and put that billboard up in a street or your name out there tomorrow, because you're still on the journey, you might feel a little bit uncomfortable. So doing the Dream Alchemy and summoning up that feeling of supreme comfort is telling your unconscious mind you are safe. You know, at some level, at least unconsciously, you have already completed the journey and you are there and you are safe and you are comfortable. So completely feeding that loop back into your system, I'm comfortable, supreme feeling of comfort with this billboard is that you are going to hurry along the magic of the dream.
I will do that, and I think, as you said, it is just to get my unconscious, or actually my conscious mind, to stop worrying about things that you should not be worrying about, you know.
Yes.
And put the emotion to it that I'm comfortable doing what I'm doing right now.
Exactly.
Putting up that billboard.
Absolutely, that's right. And your unconscious mind will begin to release those blocks and release those worries and release those concerns, because you then convince it that you are comfortable and you have already experienced in the dream you actually experience in the dream the relief, and you woke up with a huge relief. You know that at some deep level, you have already done this.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Is there anything else you wanted to ask about the dream before we wrap?
No, Jane. I think I'm okay with this. Thank you so much. It was really... I'm just again struck by the awe of the message of the unconscious in this whole process, and actually how powerful it is. So yeah, thank you so much walking with me, guiding me through this whole process. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Rita, and I really appreciate, as everyone does listening, you coming on the show and being a guest, and your awesome courage in this journey of the shadow work that you're doing too. So thank you.
Thank you, Jane.
Wasn't that a wonderful dream and a wonderful journey of exploration we had there? And as I said at the beginning of the show today, we have recorded this one 8 weeks before you listen to it. So while I'm talking to you now, I really want to say to you all, you know, most of us are in lockdown of various degrees all around the world. And I really want to say to you to stay well and stay healthy and to keep watching your dreams and to look for the light and the positivity and the things that we can change to emerge into a better world. And I don't know where we'll be by the time you listen to this. I hope that we'll be a little bit out of lockdown and things will be a little bit further along the path, but I don't really know. So that's why I'm still putting this bit message in at the end, just to say, let's hope that we're all moving forward and finding some light in the situation. And isn't it wonderful that we have our dreams to help us along the way? Just before I go, once again, the website's janeteresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. The Dream Academy, if you want to study how to interpret your dreams or how to become a dream therapist, at dream-academy-online.com. And my book, Bird of Paradise, which you'll find anywhere if you Google, hopefully, or if you go to your favorite online bookstore. And if none of those work out this early in the publishing life of the book, just come to my website at janeteresa.com, click books, and you'll find out all about it. Have a wonderful month. The next episode 232, is due out on the 16th of July 2020, if you're listening to this in real time. And also, of course, the place to go to listen to every episode of The Dream Show that's ever been is at janetheresa.com. And you can also listen to the most recent episodes on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, on Spotify. And if you go to those and subscribe, which is a really sensible thing to do, because it reminds you each month when there's a new episode, search for The Dream Show with Jane Teresa Anderson and it will come up very quickly. And of course, if you'd like to rate or leave a review, oh, I really love that. Thank you. I'll be speaking and working with some of you between now and then, but otherwise, have a wonderful month. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.